Good morning. Good day, Texas. And great day to all of you beautiful women out there. How's everyone doing? My name is Michelle Hare, and I am with State Farm's marketing department, and it is my pleasure to serve as your moderator for today's workshop, Transform Your Norm, Success Lies Outside Your Comfort Zone. I am feeling the excitement of the 17th Annual Texas Conference for Women. I know you are as well. The Conference for Women provides inspiration, support, empowerment, peer networking, and so much more. In addition, the individual sessions planned for today are designed to stimulate, encourage, and embolden each of you to make your marks in your careers and your communities. State Farm is honored to serve as a partner of the Texas Conference for Women, and we are very excited to bring our Right Now exhibit to you, and that's WRITE. Our Right Now campaign is based on the fact that we are 42% more likely to bring our dreams to fruition if we just start by writing them down. So we encourage everyone here, if you haven't done so already, to visit our exhibit, write your dream down, post it on our dream tower, and remember that your friends at State Farm are here with you every step of the way to ensure your life goes right and to ensure your financial dreams come to life as well. And speaking of dreams coming to life, we have a treat today. How many of you have ever heard Lisa Nichols speak? Okay, I have two on two occasions, and two words for you: buckle up. This is going to be a dynamic and life-changing workshop. You are here because you want more. You need a boost of confidence, and you need someone to tell you how to crush that fear that's been hanging around you, feeding you negative, paralyzing thoughts. So whether it's fear related to career, relationships, or anything else, you are in the right place. Today, we are all about motivation, then action, inspiration, then implementation. We will no longer be stagnant, period. Is that a deal? So without further ado, allow me to introduce our change innovator, Lisa Nichols. Are we? Oh, I think we're good. Can you all hear me? Okay, we will continue. So Ms. Nichols is an internationally renowned inspirational speaker who unapologetically shares her story of transformation from single motherhood and public assistance to millionaire founder and CEO of Motivating the Masses Incorporated. Her company has impacted over 30 million people. Her workshops, curriculum, and books have changed lives and enhanced businesses around the globe. Ms. Nichols is a best-selling author, and her seventh book, Abundance Now, was released this year. Ladies, please give a big Texas Conference for Women welcome to Ms. Lisa Nichols.
Thank you, sweetie. Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. Good morning. I am so excited to be with you guys. And I got to tell you, Texas has given me such a warm, warm, warm welcome. And I really needed it because I have been on a 6-week, 4-country, 9-state, 22-event tour, and this is my last city before I go home. So you guys are the cherry on top of my cake, and it has been one big cake all around the world. I woke up 8 days ago. I was in Cancun. Believe it or not, I was working. A little bit. And I was there for 5 days, and then I jumped over to Jamaica. I was working. A little bit. And then I came back to Coronado Island in San Diego. And then I jumped from there to here. So if you got to work, work in paradise. That's what I... And so I'm so excited to be with you. I'm so excited to stop by. I say I stopped by last night, yesterday afternoon. I had lunch in Coronado Island. I had dinner last night in Texas. I'll have dinner tonight in San Diego. And so I just stopped by. But literally, I just stopped by. But I stopped by to stir your soul. I stop by to remind you of your greatness. Sometimes we get busy being busy, being busy, and we forget those things that are really right in front of us. And I stop by to remind you of that. I stop by to possibly make you mildly to moderately to significantly uncomfortable in any form of mediocrity. Yes, I stop by to do that as well. I stop by to remind you of the possibility that sits in front of you, because sometimes we can get so caught up in looking at the details. How many of us are detail-oriented, right? Right, we look at the details that we stop seeing the big vision. Matter of fact, we stop visualizing the big vision. And the vision we had for ourselves 20 years ago, we haven't updated that. And so I stop by to encourage you to maybe do that as well and to help you with that process. I love what I do. I love that I get to travel the world and meet the most amazing people on the planet, by the way. So you're sitting next to one of the most amazing people on the planet, because that's the only people that I have a tendency to meet. Literally on the plane, whoever my seatmate is, I'm like, this is the most amazing person on the planet. And normally it is. I literally have friends that I've been friends with for years now that I met on the plane and we had the pleasure of sitting next to. And so this is going to be a 50 or so minutes of, though we're together for a little longer, it'll be 50 or so minutes of just churning and possible disruption and some turbulence. And I say that because when you're planting something new, you first have to be willing to till your soil. And so I know that my brother actually studied gardening, and there's some like official word for it, like botanical something, something, something. And he knows everything about gardening. But I'm the unofficial gardener because I know that I go around and I till soil. And so today we may till your soil a bit, because sometimes the dirt called your thoughts and your beliefs become so packed. And they haven't been watered lately, and they kind of get dry, and you just kind of get... How many of you guys have been in the mundane process of just doing that thing called taking care of everybody around you? You are delivering on all the deliverables that you have. Come on, let me see by show of hands. All the things you're supposed to deliver, you're the go-to person. Yeah. Only the go-to people come to these. Deadbeats don't even get invited, right? Like, you just stay at home. Right, so you're the go-to person. You're the go-to person for your family. You're the go-to person at business. And you get so busy being busy, being busy, being busy. Anybody busy? Like, you don't even know what you were busy with last week on Tuesday, but you know you were busy. That sometimes it takes a stranger, not a stranger, to step into your life and to invite you to till your soil so that it's now fresh and uprooted, so we can plant new seeds of who am I today? Who am I in November of 2016? And bigger than that, who do I want to design myself to become in November of 2017? Because whoever she is, and to the bold gentleman in the room, he is, I need to begin shaping that person now. Because who I am and who I'm becoming is so big, so huge, so ginormous in my desires that it's going to take some lead time to develop this person. So I need to start thinking about that now. Because if not, I'm going to get busy, being busy, being busy, taking care of everybody else like I always do, because I've mastered that. And so this is just the moment where we press pause and we just take stock, take inventory of who you are, who you've been, and who you're becoming, and be mildly to moderately to significantly committed to the woman that you're becoming. And also be okay with recognizing that at some point there's some parts of you that are going to have to move from okay and average to non-negotiable. Come on, you guys. Because some parts of you have settled in, it's okay. Oh, it's all right if I do that. I really want it,
but I'm not quite sure when it's gonna happen. And I just stopped by to move your it's okay to non-negotiable. So this might disrupt your household a bit. You can find me on YouTube and blame it all on me. Baby, it's her fault. Tell your kids, life is changing because it's her fault, right? And so I look at that because, you know, I've always been a big producer. Like, you know, when I was in school and I was in high school, I would always be put on all the committees because I was the person to get things done. I was born and raised in Los Angeles, California. I lived between the Harlem Crip 30s and the Rolling 60s. Those are not cheerleading squads. And in the 92 civil unrest, remember when LA burned down and the civil rights occurred and all that crazy stuff happened, I found myself being asked, I was like 24 at the time, so it was just a couple of years ago, and I found myself, I was in the march. They had a march to keep the liquor stores closed, because a lot of the liquor stores burned down and the owners wanted to reopen the liquor stores, and the community said, how about we open up childcare centers, and how about we open up, we have gardens for organic, and how about we not open up the liquor stores? But the owners of the liquor stores, of course, refuted and they wanted to open up the liquor stores. And so we had a march down one of the major streets, and typical Lisa, I start at the back of the march, and I have my kente cloth pants on and my kufi, and I'm just ready. I'm like Sister Soldier, and I'm ready. And we're walking down the street, and we're cheering, and they're cheering, but they're offbeat. And I'm a former cheerleader. And this was really hurting my ears that the front is not coordinated with the back. And so I went to the front, and I was like, can I help you guys? They're like, absolutely. And so I got everybody on beat. No more liquor stores, no. And then I'm like, can we do the step with it? And, you know, just, and then the gentleman that was over the kind of the chanting, he just said, well, why don't you just take my bullhorn? And I was like, well, absolutely. I'm happy to take your bullhorn. You ain't doing nothing with it. And so I'm chanting and I'm moving, and then the guy in the truck that was kind of guiding the march, you know, there's a truck going slowly in front of the march. He said, why don't you get up here in the truck? Because people in the back can't, typical Lisa, people in the back can't see you. So I said, absolutely, I get interest. Now I'm in the truck with the bullhorn in a march that I didn't even know about 3 days before. How many of us, no matter what we get in, we end up playing a pivotal part? Raise your hand. Come on, you guys, there's a lesson in this. It's just who you are. Cream rises to the top, no matter where it is. I didn't know who I was at the time. I'm 24, I'm trying to find my life. My father said to me 2 months later, he said, baby, why everything you get in, you have to end up leading? I want you to be careful, because at the time, he wasn't sure which direction I was gonna go in, because I was part inspiration, part militant, part confused, part whatever. I was just, anybody been like that in your early years? It's like, I don't know what I'm gonna do, but it's gonna be good. My father used to say, baby, you are powerful. Please promise me you'll use your powers for good. And I said, I'm not sure yet, Daddy. I'm still determining. So my father said, Lisa, why everything you get in, you have to lead? I said, Daddy, I don't. He goes, see, everything you get in, you got to lead it. Sometimes you need to let someone else lead, especially on the dangerous things. I said, well, I don't know. I've never led anything dangerous. He opened a magazine. There was a picture of me at the front of the march with the bullhorn. He said, there you go right there. You didn't even know about this march 3 days before. And so why I say that to say, is that we have to become very intentional on what we sign up for. Very intentional on what we use our time for. My grandmother says time is a gift. It's the one thing that you can never get back. You can get back clothes and cars and money and you can get another job, but you can never get your time back. And so choose how we spend our time. And what I had to become very mindful of is that I had given a lot of time away to things that I wasn't necessarily passionate about while I was still trying to discover myself. And in this season of my life, my time is a gift. Your time is a gift to me, and my time is a gift to you. So I'm very mindful of how I spend my time, even my time by myself. I'm very mindful of how I spend my time with Lisa. And so I stop by. I stop by to begin to ask you some critical questions. I'm gonna give you content that you might wanna write down, but I'm also gonna give you some questions that are just designed to stir your soul that you may not have asked yourself in a while. And those questions stem from just looking at, how do I step into the best version of me? How do I write the story that I'm going to love to read when I sit down and there's nothing left for me to do? How do I write my own bestseller? the chapters in my life that when I reflect on them, I go, oh my God, I really enjoyed that chapter 12. That was a good chapter. I want to read it again. How do I write the story? How do you write the story that you're proud to tell to your children? How do you write the story that you're proud to share with your children's children, even when you're gone? How do you write the story? How do you live out the conversation that inspires someone that you will never meet? Because the inspiration of your life won't live in the days when you're standing tall and you've dodged every bullet. The days and the moments that are going to inspire people are the moments when you've been hit by the bullet and the way that you heal. And the way that you love and forgive the shooter. Come on, you guys. I didn't stop by to tell you how to do your job even more effectively. I'm not going to think and speak that small. I'm going to look at your entire life, the legacy that you're leaving. Because we all are here to leave a legacy. We're all here to inspire people around us. Your life, when you get the memo that your life has less to do with you, I know it's going to sound kind of crass, but less to do with you and more to do with the people who have the pleasure of crossing your path and being inspired to be a better woman, inspired to be a better man because they crossed your path. Last night I was sitting in the limo that took me from the airport, and the woman in the limo she said, I feel like I can just talk to you. I'm not sure who you are or what you do, but I just feel like I can talk to you. And I said, okay. People talk to me all the time. And she talked about how she came home from work one day and her husband of 17 years, who brought her over across overseas, had emptied out her entire house, all her furniture, everything, including her clothes and her shoes. Empty house in California. And she picked up her life and came here to Texas 2 years ago, and she works 98 hours a week. And she lives in a hotel residence, because she has no furniture, so she needs a place that has furniture. And she says, I just work, just trying to regroup and get my life back in order. And she just said that, and then she started driving quietly, and she goes, and I don't know why I just told you that. Because it really was kind of like a dump. I mean, it's not that far from the airport, y'all know that, right? So she got in real fast. But you know how there's something always orchestrating your path. Why would she tell me that, right? So then I said, may I have your address? She said, okay. I said, may I have your email? She said, okay, sure. I said, I'm just going to send you a few things. Now, you know she's going to get a whole box full of inspiration, right? And I said to her before she walked out, I said, listen, I said, why don't you take 90 minutes off a week? And about midweek, and find a nice ministry and go to women's night. You don't have to go to the formal service, but go to women's night. She goes, oh, because I need to hear the word. I said, that's going to really help you. I said, but the fellowship of other sister friends, that's going to help you more. Just to rub elbows next to people who are standing in their power so you can reach for them. You never know why something is happening in your life, and where you are now is not where you're always going to be. Hello. Like, you're on a stop right here. So take a picture of your life. Take a picture of the things you like about it. Take a picture of the things you love about it. And take a picture of the things that you're committed to adjusting about it. Because when I looked at my life in 1995, I had my son, Jelani. Some of you who follow my work, you know about Jelani. You feel like Jelani's grown up in your arms. He's now 6'2". But I had my beautiful son, Jelani, but it wasn't a beautiful time. I was broke and broken. And I'm not sure if you've been either one of that. Anybody ever been either one of that, broke or broken? Right. Well, I had the unfortunate experience of being both at one time. And I promise you, when your success lives right outside your comfort zone, most people are looking for success inside their comfort zone. Your success, your next best version of you, lives right on the other side of your comfort zone. It lives in doing the things you don't want to do, saying the things you don't want to say. There lies the woman you've always wanted to be. In 1995, I had to make a critical decision. I had to decide, how am I going to transform this life? Because this child at 8 months old does not deserve this life. See, at 8 months, I went to the ATM because I'd run out of Pampers. Some of you have heard this story. I always share it because I believe it's just that margin of rock bottom. I went to the ATM to get $20 out so I can buy my son Pampers. And they have this little agreement. In order to get $20 out, you have to what? I don't know why they're so insistent on that. I'm good for it. And I saw this, the notice across the screen that says, you guys know about that notice too. Thought I was the only one that got it. Insufficient funds, $11.42. And because I had $11.42 in the bank, I looked up and I realized, not only can I not get my son Pampers, I can't even get out $20. I have nothing. I went home and I cried. And I wrapped my son Jelani in a towel, a number of towels, for 2 days. And when you have a child, you only want to do two things with your baby: keep them safe and keep them healthy. And I was already on government assistance. I was getting WIC. Anybody know about WIC? Free cheese, free butter, free pasta. Women, infant, and children. So I was already getting help for my son. And now I didn't have Pampers to put on him. And I don't know if you remember with the EDT card at the time, food stamps, I don't think you could buy Pampers. You can only buy food. And I remember the second day, having Jelani wrapped in a towel, I put my hand on his stomach and I said, Jelani, mommy will never be this broke again. And I knew he couldn't understand me at 8 months, but I needed to hear myself. I needed to hear myself get that radical. And from that day, I was willing to experience any and every form of discomfort necessary to redesign, rebirth, reinvent this woman that you see standing right here. I look at my life today, and if the video had worked, you would have seen some of it, but you got me. I look at my life today, and from that woman sitting on the couch in Inglewood, California, broken with $11.42, to being the CEO of a multi-million dollar company and the author of 7 best-selling books and a global brand that touches 36 million people a year, and a company that 3 years ago just went public, and the second African-American woman to be the founder of a publicly held company on Wall Street. That woman was willing to be uncomfortable. Amen. That woman was willing to be uncomfortable. I had to be willing to look at the woman I was becoming more than I was committed to the woman that I was. I had to be willing to adopt new behaviors, new habits, and new thinking more than I was rooted and parked in my old way of thinking and my old behaviors. You know how we say, well, that's who I've always been. Okay, I ask you, is that who you always want to be? Well, that's what I've always done. Okay, great. Is that what you always want to do? I have to be willing. You have to be willing to become bankrupt. Say bankrupt. Bankrupt. Say it a little louder. Bankrupt. Bankrupt. You have to become bankrupt with anything that's not serving you, anything that's not feeding you, anything that's not speaking to the woman, the man that you are becoming. You have to become bankrupt. When you file bankruptcy, they go, oh, okay, great, nothing left. It's a done deal. Restart, reset, right? So are you willing? Are you willing? I stopped by to find the people. Are you willing to become radical about the woman you're becoming? Are you willing to become non-negotiable about the woman you're designing? Are you willing to become unapologetic about the fingerprint that you're planning to leave on the world? I just stopped by to see those people. Are you in the room? I just stopped by. Not everyone's going to do it. Some of you are still wondering. I don't know. Is that me? I don't know. Is that you? I don't know. Because here's the deal. When you are in your rocking chair and there's nothing else left to do, all you will have are your memories. And your job is one job right now. one selfish job right now. Yes, I said selfish. To make the best freaking memories possible. So when you're sitting in that rocking chair, you barely want to go to sleep because you're enjoying your memories. Yes, yes? Okay, let me say the rule. Some of y'all know. So when I'm in church with my girls and I say something that they like, or when I'm in church in general, I say something like, they say amen, but we're not in church. When I'm with my girls and they say something I like, they say, you go, girl. But there's a couple of guys, I won't do that to you guys. But when I say something you like, because I need you guys to wake up to your possibility in this room. I know I'm talking to a primarily corporate group, and you guys are always pretty studious and quiet. But I'm not that. And so I want to get you out of your comfort zone. I want to get you out of what you normally do. May I do that? Because if I get you out of the norm, then maybe you might stay out of the norm. And maybe you won't ever go back to the norm. And then you'll experience the freedom of being abnormal. Because some of y'all been trying to be too normal for too long. And normal is someone else's definition of what you should be doing. And I just stopped by to disrupt that. So now when I say something that resonates with you, I want you to say yes, yes, but I want your second yes to be louder than your first yes. I want the second yes to make you kind of sit up in your chair. Let's try. We got to practice with y'all. 1, 2, 3.
Yes, yes.
That's all right. Like, I got up, jumped on the plane, made sure I was here, got up early, took like a long shower for y'all. We're going to go a little deeper than this. So I want that second yes to be that yes to your dream, to your passion that you haven't even birthed yet. That second yes to come from somewhere you didn't expect it to come from. It to be that streak of passion that you've been waiting to tap into. On the count of three, we're going to try it again. 1, 2, 3.
Yes, yes.
That's it. Every time I say something that feels good to you, I want you to say,
yes, yes.
I want you to say,
yes, yes.
Every time you hear your truth, every time you hear your truth, I want you to say,
yes, yes.
When it feels good to your soul, I want you to say,
yes, yes.
Even if your neighbor's not participating, because she's still stuck on normal, I still want you to say,
yes, yes.
I still want you to say,
yes, yes.
To your dream and your inner champion, say,
yes, yes.
Without asking permission from anyone in the room, still say,
yes, yes.
Without waiting for me to do my hands like this, still say,
yes, yes.
Still say,
yes, yes.
And when you leave this room and something feels good to your soul, I still want you to say,
yes, yes.
Without all of us around you, still say,
yes, yes.
And when you go home and they say, hey, you want to have dinner? You want to go out? You want to do something? Still say what? Now, they're going to think you're strange. Because when you left home this morning, you were only saying yes one time. But why would I have you say yes twice? Because we all know in order to get something different. And sometimes that doing something different is just adding one more yes with a lot more passion. Yeah. You passed the test. That's it. Yes, yes. From this point forward, I want you to say it when you feel it. Say it when you feel it. And when people say, why are you saying yes, yes first? Two times. I want you to know the first yes, and I don't just do yes, yes as a cliche little thing to do. The first yes is to you. And not to impose my belief system on you. You call it whatever you choose. I call him God. The first yes is to you. But the second yes, the reason why it's louder and bolder, because that second yes is to the calling on your life.
Yes.
That second yes is that yes that's going to cost you something. That second yes is that yes that's going to require you to stand on your tippy toes sometime. That second yes is that yes is going to require you to love the perceivingly unlovable when you don't want to love it. That second yes is going to require you to forgive the perceivingly unforgivable when you don't want to forgive. That second yes is going to require you to put away your small thinking about who you were and what's not good about you so you can serve the planet the way you were born to serve the planet. That second yes is going to cost you something. So that second yes got to be a little higher. Try it again.
Yes, yes.
Try it again.
Yes, yes.
See, because the woman that you are, y'all know I was coming down. Did y'all know I was coming down? Stand up there, that's too far away from y'all. That second yes is that yes that you're willing to do even when it's uncomfortable. That second yes is, you know, in the dark of the night when no one's there with you, that dark of the night when you got to decide who you're going to be in the morning, when no one else is agreeing with you and you realize, I'm not looking for agreement.
Yes.
I'm looking for my conviction.
Yes.
It's understanding that who you're committed to be, who you're committed to be in the dark of the night is who we got to see in the middle of the day. It's recognizing she's with me. Like, who's the chick? That's Narelle. And so I just stopped by. I stopped by to invite you to step into the next best version of you. See, because some of you have gotten used to, or I'm about to step on some toes here. So sit Indian style, because I ain't gonna stop. See, some of you have gotten used to dimming your light so that others won't feel insecure in your presence. Some of you have gotten used to turning down your brilliance and dimming that brilliance so that other people can handle you. Come on.
Yes.
Am I in the right room?
Yes.
Am I in the right room?
Yes.
So I just stopped by. Right. Right. I just stopped by to disrupt any form of mediocrity that you might have gotten comfortable living in. I stopped by to remind you that it's not your job to manage my perception of you. It's not your job to manage other people's perception of you. It's your job to do the best version of you that you can possibly do. That's your job. That's your job. And let them figure out if they can handle you. That's not your... My grandmother said, baby, other people's perception of you ain't none of your business. Isn't that cute? She 87. She got a whole lot of one-liners. Got a whole lot. So I stopped by. I stopped by to care front you. Not confront you, but to care front you. I stopped by to challenge you. Are you willing in this next season? Are you willing to show me everything about you? Are you willing to dance like you've never been offbeat? Are you willing to love like you've never been hurt? Are you willing to forgive like you've never been betrayed? Are you willing to sing like you know every song, every sound, and the rhythm? Are you willing to unapologetically show me the best version of you? Are you willing? Are you willing to run and leap at the risk of falling, but at the possibility of flying? Are you willing? Like, after all, you don't get today back. She did her hair like this to tell me to wait. She's like, I love you too, baby. I love you too. Are you willing? Are you willing to be the shining example for the woman who's sitting in the dark corner trying to find herself, and you're the only glimmer of light she gets to see? And when she sees you standing in your light, all of a sudden your light spills over onto her. And in that moment, she can see just a little bit more of herself, a little bit more of her own possibility, because you had the courage to show your light, to shine your light. You had the courage. You had the willingness to love the perceivingly unlovable. I'm not going to look at how you dodged the bullet. I'm going to look at how you loved after you got hit with the bullet. Are you willing to show that young 16-year-old who gets on our last nerves and the 14-year-old who we don't understand? We may not understand them, but they sure know how to watch us. Are you willing to show her the best performance possible of a woman of integrity, a woman of spirituality, a woman of forgiveness, a woman of possibility, a woman of resiliency? She's watching. You don't have to worry about her bitmojis and her emojis and how she chats, because the visual that she has of you is more powerful than anything in her phone. Come on, y'all. Yes, yes?
Yes,
yes. Yes. You wondering about where are they watching? They're watching you too. You and you too. But you are in it. Are you willing? So I just stopped by. I stopped by to ask you, what does it take? What's the moment that you decide, I'm about to give the world the best version of me, so get ready? What's the moment look like? Can you mark it? Can you say it's now? The book I wrote is not abundance later, or abundance when it all gets right. Abundance when I think I got the courage. Abundance when the world can handle me. The book is called Abundance Now. What better time than?
Now.
What better time than?
Now.
Y'all go on and turn around. Turn around so I can see your face. Turn around. Turn around. Right. This is a 360 experience. So I just stopped by to ask you, because sometimes you get so used to wondering if the world can handle you. So you walk in a room, and it's almost like you have your hand on the dial called your light. And depending on how the room can handle you, you dim the light or turn the light up. And most of y'all dim the light. Come on, y'all, come on. And most of you dim the light. You just check the room to see if they can handle you. And if they can't handle you at 159 watts, you turn down to 100. They can't handle you at 100, you turn down to 85. They can't handle, normally they can't even handle 85, especially if you walk into an ordinary room with a bunch of ordinary people doing a bunch of ordinary things. You got to go all the way down to 42. And we get used to doing that. And then you take your hand off the dial on 42 and you leave it on 42 so long that now you don't know where the dial is anymore. Come on, you guys. I didn't come here to keep you comfortable. I came here to find your genius. And all of a sudden you look up, it's been 5 years, 10 years, and you don't know how to turn your light back up. And then you start watching other people with their light shining brightly saying, man, I know I got that in me. I know I got that in me. I want to invite you to stop looking through the window at other people's lives and turn the window, roll the window down, climb through the window, and dance in your own life. I just want to know, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to mildly, to moderately, to significantly disrupt everything in your life for the new possibility? Some of you want to stay too comfortable. You don't want to disrupt anything. Well, some things need disrupting. Some things require disrupting. When you look at our great leaders, you look at Nelson Mandela, there was a little disruption. You look at Martin Luther King, he had to disrupt some people. You look at Mother Teresa, there was some disruption. You look at Cesar Chavez, there was some disruption. You look at Mahatma Gandhi, there was some disruption. So I don't understand why you can't do some disrupting. I'm just saying. The people that inspire us the most, we're willing to disrupt a bit. Right? And so I just stopped by. I stopped by to stand shoulder to shoulder with you about the design that's coming out of you, to ask you, what happens if you got to the edge and you trusted yourself to take a leap? What happens if you trust yourself to love again? I mean, really love again. What happens if you took that chance on yourself in that business you've been thinking about? Yes. Or if you wrote that book that tells that story you know the world needs to hear, that doesn't belong to you. It's just your story, but it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to those of us that'll be healed by it. I just stopped by to ask you, what happens if you begin to walk taller, back more erect, head a little higher? You do your strut a little longer. What happens? What happens if you step back until you're sexy, until you're sensual, or you step until you're spiritual? What happens? What happens if you save money and buy your own freedom future? What happens? I'm just asking, because your success lives on the other side of your comfort zone. I didn't say it was going to be comfortable, but my grandmother says your conviction and your convenience won't ever live on the same block. So what's your conviction? What are you convicted about? And how do you show evidence of your conviction? Because if you say you're convicted about something, but you don't want to be uncomfortable about it, you're not convicted. It's just a good idea, and it stops being good the minute it costs you something. But what are you willing? What are you willing to disrupt your current norm for so you create a breathtaking future? Hold on. What are you willing? Like, why is it that you're in this room? Why is it that I'm in this room with you? Why is it that we're having this conversation? Hi, beautiful ladies. How are you? It makes me super excited to see you guys in this room. What does it mean? What does it mean? What thought could possibly keep you up tonight that I've said? Because it doesn't belong to me anymore. It belongs to you. Like, what did you need to hear in your soul? What have you been waiting for someone to be bold enough, courageous enough to say to you in your face? Come on, y'all. What do you want? What have your soul been asking for that you thought you couldn't handle? But you realize you can handle it. Not only do you handle it, you need it. You need it like oxygen. You need it like water in a drought. Some of us have been waiting to be awakened. Wake me up. Get me out of my walking, talking coma. Yes, wake me up. Don't let me, don't sentence me to another 10 years in this story. This story was okay, but I outgrew it. I outgrew this story 5 years ago. How many guys outgrew the story you in 5 years ago, 10 years ago? It was great then. It was great then. 15 years ago, it was amazing. But I outgrew this. I don't want this to be my 2020 story. Come on, you guys. No one in this room should want their current story to be their 2020 story. I don't want my current story to be my 2020 story. I tell people, look at my bio, but don't get caught up in my bio. You should ask me about my future, oh. Don't get caught up. And I got a big bio, but you should hold me accountable to the woman I'm becoming, not the one I've been, no matter how big it is. And we're so used to being held accountable to our resume. That's so 08. Your resume is so 08. That's like who you was. I want to know who you're becoming. And how is the woman that you're becoming going to help me want to be a better woman? I realize our lives don't belong to ourselves. Our lives belong to each other. Like, the best thing I can do is be the best version of me for you. It's the best thing I can do. Y'all, if y'all notice, I'm walking out my shoes. In case anybody noticed, some of y'all know me from a while ago, I recently lost 90 pounds. And now I'm out of my shoes. Like, I thought I lost a half a shoe size, but I guess I lost a whole shoe size. That's unauthorized. You know some of the shoes I have in my closet? So I'm walking around here holding on to my toes like this. So in a moment, I'm going to open up for Q&A. And I want you to think of that question that you might not think you should ask somebody. I want you to ask that question. You don't need to ask me a safe question. You can ask me anything. Say anything. Say anything.
Anything.
As long as you can handle the answer. Because I've had to get used to it already. So this is that conversation. I know sometimes in environments like this, in corporate environments, they're the politically correct answers and questions, and that's not what we're doing today. This is sister friend time with a few courageous brothers who decided to join us. And I applaud the men in the room. So in a moment, we're going to open up for Q&A. And I want you to jump in and ask Q&A. And then afterwards, and Michelle will reiterate that that I'll sign books and have some photo time with you guys, and we'll take advantage of that. But for now, I want to take you to the edge. In 2007, I went to the Oprah show, and I took my grandmother with me. My grandmother's 87. She picked cotton in Little Rock, Arkansas, so she should go to the Oprah show in Chicago, right? And I called my grandmother for 3 days trying to get a hold of her to let her know that I was gonna take her to the Oprah show. Like, her dream has come true. She watched Oprah every single day for 25 years, and she, to go there was everything. But I couldn't get a hold of her. And on the third day, I'm worried. I'm calling my brother, check on grandmother. She may have fallen and couldn't get up, and she don't have that little button, and, you know, and he's like, grandma's not home. And finally, my grandmother calls me back in 3 days, and I said, grandmother, I've been calling you for 3 days. Where have you been? I've been so worried about you. She said, baby, I was in Vegas. She said, and I don't like to be disturbed when I'm on the slot machines. Okay, so now that you're back from Vegas, I was just calling. See if you want to go to Oprah with me. She said, sure, sweetie. So my grandmother goes to Oprah with me. And so she immediately started telling people. And she was on her cell phone. And she talks really loud on her cell phone because she can't believe that it doesn't need a cord. Right? You're nodding, right? You know. She's like, yes. Hey, Maybelle. All her friends have old names. Of course, my phone would ring while I'm talking. Hi. Hi. I'm a little busy right now. Okay. Call you back. So it's my life. You can't make this stuff up. So she would be on the phone, Maybelle. Yeah, I'm going to the Oprah show. Mm-hmm. The real Oprah show. Mm-hmm. I'm going with the middle grandchild. I'm like, don't I get a name? Mm-hmm, the middle one. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, we staying at the Omni Hotel, where the guests of Oprah Winfrey stay. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you guys remember, but when at the end of the show, it would always say, sponsored by the Omni Hotel, where the guests of Oprah Winfrey. So she thinks that's the whole name. Like, she thinks that's the name of the hotel. So she, one by one, she calling all her friends. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yes, Lucille. I'm in the limo, it's long. Mm-hmm. And I love hanging out with my mom and my dad, because my life when I'm on the road, I'm traveling, is pretty crazy, spectacular, unbelievable. 7 stars. And then I'll get with my family and they just like, whoop, level set everything, right? So I'm always bringing my family with me on the road. I try to hang out with them as much as possible, just so I can keep everything right and grounded and grateful and humble. And boy, nothing like traveling with your grandmama to keep yourself in check, right? So she's in the car. Mm-hmm, yep. Mm-hmm. We going to a hotel, not a motel, a hotel. The Omni Hotel. Where the guests of Oprah Winfrey stay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're gonna be there in a while. Mm-hmm. We drive in a long car. They got free juice. Mm-hmm. We get to the Omni Hotel. We check in. We go to our room. And I have to go and meet with the producers. And so I go and meet with the producers. I come back to my room. My grandmother says, baby, this lady came. And she asked me, did I want this thing called a turn down? She said, I asked her, did it cost? She told me, no, it don't cost. So I told her, well, come on in and turn down. She said, and baby, we don't need to buy dessert. She all about saving money. We don't need to buy dessert because she left some chocolate on our pillow. I said, okay, grandma. We had a great evening together, sitting and she on the phone with everybody. Mm-hmm, we here now. We got 2 rooms, a room with the beds and a room with the couch. Mm-hmm, like a house, you can live here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, at the Omni Hotel, where the guests of Oprah Winfrey stay. Mm-hmm, we here right now, we here right now. There's probably other people here for Oprah too, but we for Oprah, mm-hmm. The middle grandchild. Lisa, that's my name. And so the next morning, and someone needed to hear this. And as I share this part, just let me know if you need to hear it. Yes, yes, or hands, or whatever. The next morning, I get up and I get dressed. I'm excited because being on Oprah was like the ultimate acknowledgement for my body of work. And I was there. For 10 years, I wanted to be on Oprah. So the next morning I get up, I get dressed, I grab my purse, I'm waiting for the call, and my grandmother says, baby, and it was a little tone on the baby. I don't know if you ever had your grandmother say your name in a way. Like, what's up with that? She said, baby, go make your bed. That's how I looked. That was my face too. But it's my grandmother, so what I do? I went and make my bed. So I went, I made my bed. Then the phone call came. I answer the phone. Hello, Miss Nichols. This is Harpo Inc. Your limo is outside. I'm like, yes, yes. Grab my jacket, put my jacket on. We in Chicago. It was cold. Grab my purse. Grandma, let's go. She said, baby, with that same tone. I was like, yes, Grandma. She said, go wipe out the sink basin. Why about the sink basin? I look like that a little bit, but I was kind of hiding the look because she my grandmother. So I go in the bathroom, wiping out the sink basin. I said, Grandma, no disrespect, because that's how you have to qualify. Questioning your grandparent, only if you like your teeth. Somebody said, yes, yes. Grandma, no disrespect, But why am I making the bed and wiping out the sink basin at the Omni Hotel? I'm a guest. I'm a guest, Grandma. She said, just keep cleaning. Clean it good, baby. I'm gonna check behind you and I'll tell you. I cleaned it good. Walked out. She said, now leave the housekeeper a tip. I said, but I did her work. She said, leave her a tip. So I left her $3. She said, you make a lot of money. Leave her more money than that. Don't be cheap. Leave her. I left her a 10. I said, Grandma, I knew it was a lesson. I said, Grandma, why am I making a bed, wiping out the sink basin, and leaving the housekeeper a tip? She said, and here's the part for you. She said, because your great-great-great-grandmother was a day worker. She said, and people would leave their homes extra nasty when they knew she was coming. She said, but you're not going to do that. She said, I know you think, she said, and you left her a tip because on the days that your great-great-grandmother got a tip, we got to eat meat that day. She said, I know you think you're walking on those fancy red bottom shoes. And I know you think you're walking on this plush carpet at the Omni Hotel. She said, but you're not walking on these shoes and you're not walking on this carpet. You're walking on the shoulders of your great-great-grand ancestors. You're walking on their shoulders. You're walking on the people who would never have an opportunity to stay at this hotel or come to a conference like this. She says, so this victory don't just belong to you. This victory belongs to all of us. She said, and Miss Nichols, that's what she called me, you gonna do right by us. She said, and when you leave out, we all will be behind you. She said, so now get your purse and your jacket and go represent us well. Yes, yes. Yes, yes. Yes, yes. So now I'm going to entertain about 4 questions. There's a mic right there, just 4. And there's a mic right there. And now I'm going to invite you to, I know you're going to want to tell me the whole story so we can feel connected. Please trust I am your sister in the journey. And I know the story. Just the names have been changed. So the quicker you get to the question, the quicker we can get to the answer. So 1.
Yes.
1. And then 2, this gentleman here. And then 3, the woman right behind her. And then 4, the woman right here. And that's it.
Super quick, I was wondering if I could give you something to put in the care package for your driver yesterday.
Absolutely.
Cool. Can I just bring it?
Yeah, thank you. Give her some love, you guys. And 2, I love that. Thank you.
Lisa, your story is so inspiring because when you talk about your son and what you've done for him, you've done exactly what my mom has done for me coming from a third world country. And my mom just had the confidence to go back to pharmacy school this last year after living with 20 years of oppression. And so, from a woman who's accomplishing a lot, I had a startup that launched last week to help women and children in Bangladesh and India, but I can't seem to reach my mom and help her rise from all the crap that she's gone through. So aside from giving her your book, what can I tell her and what can I do that can help her motivate herself to share her story and make a difference?
You can't make her share her story. That's an internal job for her. What you can ask her to do is, can you share her story? And then allow her to see that it's not, that it's safer than she thinks. So one of the things that I've done, and you might want to write this down, is I retired from the converting business. That I realized that I can't convert someone to want to do something until they want to do it. I can't convert someone to want to be someone until they want to be that person. What I can do is inspire them through my actions. So you might want to introduce her to some of my YouTube videos if you feel like she and I have something in common, so she can see there's safety on the other side of telling the story, right? You may want to give her things to surround her and to allow her to build it up. But allow the best gift you can give your mom is to celebrate your mom exactly where she is. Because when you whatever you celebrate grows. Wherever energy goes, energy grows. So if you push energy toward converting, it will require her to shrink and protect. If you celebrate who she's being, she'll step more into that person. By the way, that goes for your husbands too, ladies. So retire from the converting business and then step into the celebrating business. So when you find the 1, 2, 3 things that they do well, keep celebrating that. Because we're just like 3-year-olds. We're like 40-year-old 3-year-olds. What gets celebrated gets repeated. And then it spills over into other things. Okay, so allow your mom to be her, to do her. Ask what parts of her story can you tell. And then invite her to step into a community, possibly with me, that she feels comfortable. I'm going to give you guys, I always wait to the end to give you guys something free. Because I let everybody who's just for the scenery go. But I'm going to give you guys something free. Make sure you give this to your mom. Okay, give her access to this because it'll show me in video talking directly to her. Okay, so don't move don't leave the room until I give you that, okay? Perfect. And I celebrate you as a son. Yes. Next. Oh, the babies. The babies. You guys have a question? Look how cute they are, y'all.
Hello.
Hi, honey.
My name's Alyssa, and I'm 13 years old.
I'm Alicia, I'm 14.
And hi, baby.
We just, first of all, I want to say thank you so much for being here. It really means a lot to us, and we wanted to ask what tips you would offer to young girls. We speak to young girls about self-confidence, so what tips would you give to for them to really love themselves and be strong and confident in who they are?
Oh my God. I can just take y'all home with me. One of the things that I would offer, I do a lot of work with young teenage girls. So number one, I have a program called Motivating the Teen Spirit, okay? So I want you guys to remember that. And Motivating the Teen Spirit happens 3 times a year. And I want you to see, where's Narelle? Narelle, where are you? She's right there. Narelle. So I want you to see Narelle when we finish. I'm gonna be over at the book signing station later because we'll be signing books because they all gonna like want some little juice. Like this is just the beginning of the conversation. So over there, make sure Narelle gives you access. And is your mom here? Okay, so mom, all you have to do is get them to San Diego, okay? 3 times a year, 3 times a year. Listen, 3 times a year we do Motivating the Teen Spirit, right? So I'm gonna give them a 2-year free pass to Motivating the Teen Spirit. Okay? So that's 6 sessions that they
Thank
can choose
you.
From. You're welcome. You're absolutely welcome. So not only will you see things that they can listen to, but I'm also going to show you us working. You're going to be in a room of about 150 teenagers, and we do transformation for teenagers over the course of 2 days. And we've worked with over 253,000 teens, and we've prevented over 3,052 teen suicides, and we've reconnected several thousand teens back with their parents. So better than giving you a tape, I'm going to give you us live. Right? And the special bonus to the training, I don't teach the training, but my 21-year-old son teaches the training. So you'll see a team. So mom, just make sure you connect with Narelle. We'll give you the information. They got a 2-year pass. And if you fall madly in love with it and you want another year, well, that's easy. Finally got a job I can't get fired from, because I'm the boss. Yes, sweetheart.
My name is Felicia.
Hi,
and
Felicia.
I wanted to say thank you so much for stopping by.
You're welcome.
So my question is, I'm sure you've probably experienced this where you have this intuitive sense about something you need to do or you're being led on a certain path.
Oh, yes.
But then you're like, well, maybe I might be wrong about that.
Right.
So what is your process? What do you do for yourself to get past that? Maybe I might be wrong.
Right.
Maybe my intuition is not right.
Right.
So when it's always right.
Understand that your intuition is designed to pull you forward. Your intuition is designed to pull you forward. That's what it's designed for. And it's also designed in an uncomfortable situation. It's designed to feed you the information you need to pause. So it does both. Your brain is designed to keep you safe. Your brain only goes back in its file cabinet to things that look like this, feel like this, might have been like this. Did it work? Did it not work? Your brain is designed to keep you, to keep you safe. Your brain is very logical. Your job is to know the distinction. Is this my intuition pulling me, or is this my brain trying to keep me safe? And so you have to become get into a relationship understanding the distinction between the difference between the two. Many of us in this room don't know the difference because you've been listening to your head so long that you haven't allowed your intuition to make any sound in your life. Because when you don't listen to it, it starts whispering. It used to talk to you like this, and now it's like this. And now some of y'all are like, no, 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 no. It's like that. So understanding your intuition. So here's what I recommend that you do. Understand if the intuition is pulling you towards something that makes you nervous because it requires you to expand the woman that you are in order to do it. And if your brain is talking you out of it, just go collect information, collect physical evidence to show you that it can work. Information is powerful. Collect the evidence to show you that it can work. If you can't collect enough evidence to show you that it can work, okay, pause. But if you can collect evidence, research, development, examples to show you can work, then keep walking toward it. Don't wait to not be scared to walk towards your intuition. Some of your best steps are going to be taken like this. Yeah. Write this down, you guys, in closing. Write this down. Abundance now. Abundance now. Online. It's all one word. AbundanceNowOnline.com. AbundanceNowOnline.com. Now, here's the key part. AbundanceNowOnline.com/gift. And it's on the screen. AbundanceNowOnline.com. Take a picture of it on the screen. And in closing, I see somebody got the actual, this is like one of the limited editions of the book. Whose is this? Is this yours? Oh, this is a limited edition of the book. So, in closing, I stopped by to stir your soul. She said, yes, you did. Yeah. I stopped by to celebrate the champion in you. I stopped by to awaken her. I stopped by to make it mildly to moderately to significantly uncomfortable in any form of mediocrity. But more than anything, I stop by to encourage you to make the next chapter that you write the best chapter that you write in your life. My grandmother says when you get her age, you're going to sit in your favorite rocking chair and you're going to tell the story of your life. She says, but while you're your age, you're supposed to make sure the story's going to be really good to tell. Thank you for allowing me in your space. I hope to see you at the book signing. I hope to see you. Come.
All right, well, this concludes our workshop. I see you all are in a rush, and I know you're going to Exhibit Halls 1 and 2. That's where Lisa will be signing her copies of her book. Thank you so much for being here with us today, and I know you will all put into practice all of the great challenges that we received today. Thank you all, and have a transformative day.